Mondaglione talking with Bella Fleck. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm getting away with it.
You have just an amazing life with a one-year-old son and balancing a career with such a variety. Of course, Abigail and then the Flecktones and then sometimes working in the jazz idiom. How do you do it, Bella Fleck?
Well, it's a good question, I guess. I love music and I love playing, you know, with great people that inspire me. There's a lot of music out there to play, and there's a lot of music that the banjo can be a part of that we don't often, you know, think the banjo can be a part of, and that's sort of my place in the scheme of things. I'm a big fan of the banjo, and it's like a fight. It's like the good fight for the honor of the poor banjo, which has been relegated to being a comedy instrument for a lot of people. And I just think it's a wonderful instrument. And it's a great part of American heritage. And I love playing it.
I know you do. So does Abigail. I did a little reading before our conversation, and there's this story you tell about getting stopped by the police because you were speeding because of listening to Abigail. Tell us about that.
That's right. That was the first time I actually heard her music. She gave me a demo CD, and I was driving home from this party out in Franklin, Tennessee, back to my place. It was about a half-hour drive where we had all been hanging out. And I put in the CD, and I started, wow, I really like this. And I started driving faster and faster, and I got pulled over, and I had to walk the line.
So,
that time.
Okay, so you heard her on a demo CD. So then when did you two sort of like become friends or maybe hook up, as we say?
Well, I had met her earlier actually at a square dance in Nashville, which is where I live. It's the only time anybody's asked me to come play a square dance. It was a great friend of mine, great musician, Russ Barenberg. He said there was a cool fiddle player in town from Vermont, and they were doing some old square dance tunes. Would I want to come and jam with the band? So I said, sure. And I saw Abby. She was in the crowd dancing. And she lit up the room. She has so much fun when she dances. And I noticed her. But it was several years later that we actually became a couple. At that time, we were in different relationships. And, you know, time just sort of rolls on and things change. I was free. And when I heard that she was splitting up with her longtime boyfriend, I kind of hounded her. I just thought, wow, you know, what a great girl. It would really, really be so cool to spend some time together. And it turned into a marriage and a child. And now a musical duo.
Yes.
Of all things.
And you know what? You tell Abigail that beauty is as beauty does. She's one beautiful woman and a beautiful player.
Well, she really is. I mean, she is just she's everything that she seems to be. You know, some people are putting on an act on stage. She's not that. She's exactly who she appears to be, and she's very wise and warm and beautiful and funny, and she's a great musician and really incredible singer.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, you know, I wanted to ask, is there something that a singer should do to differentiate oneself from, like, the banjo tremolo, or do you want to just kind of echo the tremolo of a banjo?
Well, I think music is, you know, good music is made out of variety.
Mm-hmm. Like
a good band has, you know, people who play in a lot of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And even the combination of instruments, what makes a good combination of instruments, you know, you want somebody to do the long notes. You want somebody to do the short, fast notes. I mean, it's good. In bluegrass, there's a lot of really rhythmic singers. That's really cool. But to me, when somebody is sailing on top and singing those long notes out while the rhythm is cooking, that's always a great sound, whether it's Edgar Meyer playing the long notes on the bass, or whether it's Abby singing the long notes vocally, or, you know, we're having a saxophone, you know, in the Flecktones or harmonica.
So this onstage thing, I've had just a blast listening to the two of you and your various seven different banjos on the
new
the new CD. Do all seven of those banjos tour with you?
Yeah, I think seven, maybe there's as many as 10 on the bus because there's a couple of spares, and then sometimes we have some in different tunings that look like the other ones. But yeah, and if it was up to me, I would fill the whole bus up with banjos. I think you could have 20 or 30 of them on here, no problem. So that's, maybe we'll even have two buses. There'll be the banjo bus, and then there'll be the bus that we travel on. I think that would be good.
Oh, I think that would be great.
Yeah.
So tell me about the different favorite banjos that the two of you have. Now, I understand that you prefer this Gibson Master Tone, and she likes something known as the Ohm Jubilee.
Yeah, sure. Well, now, I'm a three-finger player, you know, which comes from the Scruggs style, what Earl Scruggs created, and bluegrass. And then I've all the people that have changed Scruggs style and grown it into this more modern style, I'm sort of one of the modern versions of that. Abby comes from the old-time style, which we call clawhammer or frailing or drop thumb style you play without finger picks. And it's a whole different stroke that really goes back to the early African styles of banjo, especially the ones that came over with the slaves. And old-time music comes more out of that. And bluegrass is more of a hybrid performance version of old-time music, in my opinion, that you know, is centered around Bill Monroe and Earl Scruggs coming together to create a band. Mm-hmm. Everybody emulated, which is very different from old time. It's not so much about any particular people. It's more of a communal kind of a music. But anyway, so I play a banjo that's a lot like Earl Scruggs' flathead. He had a Granada flathead from the 30s. Mine is a mahogany from 1937, so the style 75. And Abby plays a newer banjo, which is set up for that old-time style she plays in. And it's got a bigger head. It's a 12-inch head, and she... also a mahogany banjo, and it just sounds great. It's got a really funk players like, where the bluegrass guys want a little bit of crispness and bell sound, and together they make a real nice tapestry.
Oh, they do. They do. And together, the two of you have made a beautiful little boy. Oh, my gosh. You know.
Did you see the picture?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to be angry at us about that one day.
Now, you are going to be at the Power Center with Abigail Washburn on Sunday evening here in Ann Arbor. How many times, collectively, do you think the two of you have played Ann Arbor?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I know it's been a regular stop for Abby ever since her career started, and she started playing with Uncle Earl and this the all-girl string band that she was in, and then with her own bands. I mean, I remember first coming to Ann Arbor and playing the Ark with Newgrounds Revival in the old building, where it was upstairs, and then, you know, of course, the new building, you know, the new place, many times with different groups. I remember playing there with a Indian tabla player, Sandeep Berman. I remember playing with the Sparrow Quartet with Abigail, with the Bluegrass Trio with Brian and Casey Dreesen and Brian Sutton. But I also remember playing the Power Center with the Bluegrass Sessions Band, and I'm pretty sure it was the Power Center. I remember playing with Edgar Meyer there. I remember playing State Theater with Chick Corea.
Yeah.
I remember the African Project with in that beautiful youth hall on, no, I don't think it's the Mendelssohn, but it's where they used to always do the ARC's yearly big event.
Hill Auditorium,
yes. Yeah. So that was amazing, playing there with the African musicians a few years ago. So I've gotten to come with almost every project that I've been doing. I was just there with Brooklyn Rider, the string quartet, just last year, mm-hmm. playing in the classical music series. So I get to sort of swing back and forth. But I'm really excited to be back with Abby. It's the sweetest show, and it's just very, very straightforward. It's just us on stage with a bunch of banjos, and we talk a lot and tell stories, and she's very funny. But we also get into some pretty serious banjo playing, some traditional stuff, which I really haven't gotten to do much of in a long time. So that's really sweet. And I really never get to play with singers, and she is just a great one.
You know, this concert that you're doing at the Power Center is part of the ARC's 50th anniversary celebration.
Mm.
Yeah.
I love coming to Ann Arbor. I just think it's one of the best towns to play. The audiences are always just very open, curious, and energetic, which are all really important things as a performer. I've never had a dead audience in Ann Arbor, but they're not... they're not just lively and noisy, you know, without intelligence. That's what I love too, is because I try to play music that, you know, sometimes it's fairly heady, and I like it that if an audience can go there with me while still not getting so quiet that there's nothing there to respond to. Because an audience really makes you play differently from night to night. Like, the space that you're in is hard to distinguish from the audience sometimes. Like, when you're playing a great hall, halls make an audience feel like they need to be really, really quiet and sit on their hands and not make any noise. Some halls make you feel like you can just be part of the show and yell out, you know. I just love to get good energy from the audience and a certain kind of attention, and I've always had that in Ann Arbor, and I look forward to getting there again.
You'll get it in droves. Bella Fleck, thank you so much. Looking forward to that show with Abigail Washburn.
I'd fly to hold you, catch you by the tail. Your smile would console, but our reflection led me pale. I'd try to find him, the man who'd make me whole. Third one sank my boat, fourth time the bank's over.